In our podcast miniseries, Made by Microbes, we explore new ways of microbial production. The range of microbial products is widening, with advances in life sciences that enable microbes to produce substances that are naturally produced by animals or plants. We invite people whose daily work is deeply rooted in microbial research to share their insights and discuss the expected impact of biotechnology on our everyday life.
Welcome everybody to our podcast episode on platform standards and tools as key drivers for innovation in biotechnology. In this conversation, we will focus on the goal to find alternative ways for the production of natural substances, which have a big potential, for example, as medicine or food supplement, but cannot be extracted in sufficient quantity from natural sources, in particular from plants. A promising alternative is biosynthesis of these natural substances in microbes that have the capacity to mimic the way plants produce these compounds. We will discuss today why it is so important to develop standards, tools, and platforms to promote or enable successful research in life sciences. Small companies hold leading positions for the advancing of biotechnology, like our two guests. We welcome Davide De Lucrezia, who is co-founder and managing director of Explora Biotech, a company in the region of Venice in Italy. Explora is a leading company that has developed the bioengineering platform Dulix and provides molecular and synthetic biology services. And we welcome René de Voma. He is owner of Extra Synthèse, a company in the region of Lyon in France. Extra Synthèse is a leading manufacturer and supplier of analytical standards, of phytochemical reference materials that are bioactive substances that are naturally produced by plants. I would first like to ask you about your personal background. What inspired you to choose the professional field you're working in now? Davide, would you like to start?
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you for having me on this podcast. The reason why I chose biology is because it's fascinating how organism can turn basically any kind of feedstock into something valuable. And this is coupled to the ability that we have developed over the last 70 years to really engineer those systems. So this is very fascinating, the ability to redesign factories that can work at atomic scale and turn, you know, any kind of feedstock into valuable stuff. And this is what brought me to synthetic biology in the first place.
And René, how about you?
I'm René. I'm primarily a chemist by training and experience. And after my PhD, I used to work for 20 years in the production of pharmaceutical ingredients by synthetic chemistry. And the beauty of this chemistry is that, you know, it's like a Lego game where you construct a molecule by synthetic ways from step to step to make at the end a bioactive molecule which are useful for the health of people. And 10 years ago, I wanted to go to a new venture, and I took over Extra Synthèse from its founders. And that's how, I would say by chance, I discovered with much fun the natural product chemistry and all this ability of plants to do interesting, bioactive, healthy molecules for mankind.
Thank you, René. But Davide, perhaps you could tell us a little bit more about this special platform Dulix that Explora developed.
Sure. So one of the major problems in translating ideas into products is that we are missing most of the time the data that would allow us to shortcut product development. So as a matter of fact, most of the company and startups, they start from scratch because they do not have access to data and tools to really accelerate their product development. Dulix specifically addresses this issue by providing a FAIR compliant database of digital sequences and related data. And on top of this, it's also providing a very effective toolkit for researchers to use those data to engineer organisms. And Dolix has been built with the contribution of the RIA Commission over several years and in partnership with several European consortium, including the SIM4FLAV project. And really, our mission as a Dolix platform is to allow people, the next generation of bioentrepreneurs, to really shortcut product development by compiling a manually curated, FAIR compliant database of digital DNA sequences and related data.
So who would be the clients who buy your services? Is it dedicated to startups even, or who?
I think we can deliver disruptive value to startups because we enable startups to really kickstart their research by granting them access to tons of data that they would spend years to get. But I think it's also valuable for more mature companies because allow companies to standardize the data and harmonize results in order to really build an ecosystem, an internal ecosystem that accelerates R&D. At the end of the day, what you want to do is to avoid all the pitfalls and move as fast as possible toward the target. And you really don't want to trial and error. So our idea is to allow people to skip, to avoid trial and error, and be smart about what to do. And the best way to achieve this is really to allow people to access data.
There is also Seva. How is that connected to it, and what is Seva?
But Seva is a huge piece of the puzzle. That was the first attempt by CSIC to establish a standardized architecture for vector design. This is really, I mean, I can't stress enough how important is standardization in synthetic biology. Once again, if you don't have a standard, if you don't have a data, if you don't have a methodology, what you're doing is rule of thumb, which may deliver you a very successful PhD thesis, but will rarely deliver you a product. So Seva was the first attempt to standardize a vector architecture with a very well-defined structure. It's called placeholder or modules. And this was later integrated into Dolix, because now Dolix has all the Seva collection available for researchers, and also a dedicated tool to make the best out of those DNA parts so that you can use, as Rene was saying, as a Lego bricks in order to compose your final construct. So Seva parts are the Lego bricks, and the final Seva plasmid is your Lego castle, if you wish.
Okay, thank you very much, Davide. Rene, your company is developing standards on a completely different, let's say, approach or with a different target. It is analytical standards. And how are they produced in your company? What methods are they applied?
Soisynthèse is a much older lady than Explora, and it has been founded in 1986 at a time where synthetic biology were not much developed and actually not really much used in the industry. And so traditionally, the technology we have developed over years are technology of extraction and purification, and sometimes also a chemical synthesis of natural products. And now synthetic biology is giving us a new access, a new way of doing things, and also new potentials, not only to replace or to optimize the traditional techniques, but also to go much further. How typically we are doing our products? We are starting from plants. They are our chemists. They create molecules very specific to their species in their own organism, and our art is to extract them, to separate them from each other, because they are huge cocktails of molecules made by plants, and to purify them at the highest level. And why? Not to make ingredients directly, not to make products that will be used for industrial application, but to make very pure products that will be used, as you say, as reference material, as standards, and they will be used to calibrate quality control operation or to calibrate research experiments to give companies, industries, academic labs working on plants or plant-based products a real assessment assessment of the results they provide and on the quality of the products they make.
Thank you. I would like to ask one other question also to Davide. Can you imagine how synthetic biology can be more democratized? We had this discussion in another podcast, you know, to make it, how can it be only be carried out by big companies, or can smaller companies or individuals even handle elements?
Well, I will share here something that I'm not sure will be welcome, but I do not wish synthetic biology to be democratized to down to the individual level. Mm-hmm. I think it's a powerful discipline and carries also a potential for dual use or, you know, something that could be harmful. So I really wish to be regulated in a smart way, but certainly not to be democratized to anyone, anywhere without regulation. That said, I think that the major bottleneck in really using synthetic biology as a business framework, it's that the CapEx investment for new companies is huge. I mean, the amount of tangible asset that you need to kickstart your company is really a barrier for most of the people. So I think that in order to democratize, we should push on shared facilities. And this should go from R&D, and it's already there, but even more important than R&D is to share facility for scaling up. So pilot, pre-industrial, and industrial scale-up facility. I think that the industry is moving in this direction. I recently read about Synonym, that it's really building a capacitor, a network of facilities in order to allow people to access this kind of asset without the investment. That's needed for to democratize. Obviously, I'm a little bit biased. To me, in order to democratize, you should have access to information. And yeah, sorry, but I will bring back here the Dulix mission is really about empowering people to make the best use of data that are already there, so that people don't have to start from square number one time and over again. And also in that direction, I think that we are moving with a number of initiatives, and the European Commission was super active in promoting standardization and building fair, compliant databases. That I think will really impact the way we can use synthetic biology and democratize it across the board.
René, who are your clients?
We are mainly two segments of clients. The first and most important segment is clients more in the industry making plant-based products. You know, plants are used, extracted, and so on to make ingredients for health, for cosmetics, for food supplements, and even to make a phytostationary product or things like that, and also flavor and fragrance. So there is traditionally, and is still developing, a lot of application utilization of plants in the industry. And what customer needs is to put some control in their process, to control their starting material, their intermediate extract, and even their finished product, to verify a few parameters, and by using these standards we are providing, verifying the authenticity of the materials they are using, because when you are taking a plant or you receive a plant from a vendor, you have to be sure the right one, and which is the right one, not contaminated or adulterated with other ones. Also, they will verify the potency, the activity of their extract finished product, to verify that the bioactive principle of the plant has actually been captured and is coming up to the final formulation of the commercial product. And also sometimes they have to verify that no toxic material, no harmful material, which could come from the plant as well, has been eliminated in the finished product. So it's a safety issue.
And academia, you also provide
university? And academia, so a lot of research is still developed around plants. The main domains where people are working with plants is people studying the biology of plants. Just we continue to discover how plants are developing, metabolizing, and so on. There are all the domain of agronomy, the optimization of plant for cultivation. There is a domain also of called pharmacognosis, so looking for ingredient in plants with a health benefits, with the equivalent with to cosmetic or application, and the domain of nutrition, which also is extremely important. And if you think to nutrition, a large part of our diet is based on plants, and these people in research in nutrition, they try to understand the effect, the value, what becomes plant where you just eat them, ingest them. So they need to have for all this purpose of this research to have standard references to verify the experiment, to verify their hypothesis. And that's what we are providing to them.
Thank you very much. I would like to ask you both, what do you consider the most impressive achievements for you personally in biotechnological applications that have been achieved?
I think that what impressed me the most is how we are approaching to really use data to design metabolic pathways. For several decades, that was really a trial and error approach. Let's stick together a couple of promoters and enzymes and fingers crossed, something's going to get out of it. Now we have a more data-driven approach. And I think that modeling has advanced a lot in such a way that it's really now possible to make an educated guess of what a metabolic pathway should do. So this combination of data, computation, and experimental work is what really impressed me the most. At the same time, I think we are missing one important piece of the puzzle, which is scalability. So most of the breakthrough there works perfectly at lab scale and pilot, but they fail to translate properly when scale up. And I think that the next challenge is about to empower scalability into the design process. So designing for scalability from the get-go.
Yeah, concerning plant and synthetic biology, I think what probably the most impressive step I've seen and the most promising in the future, and that's what we are working with our European project, is that not only the biosynthetic pathway of phytochemicals, of molecules for plants has been elucidated, but now we are able to transfer it to other organisms which are easier to manipulate, to modify, and to exploit, to make really ingredients at large scale. I mean that now we are able to transfer what we call the biomachinery of a plant, or one of the biomachinery of plant leading to a certain molecule, a certain ingredient, to a bacteria, to a yeast, and that can be then cultivated with the goal of making at a large scale the given ingredient coming from the plant. And this is a real revolution to have been able to transfer this machinery from species to species, from organism to organism. And that gives this, let's say, this industry of plant-based product a lot of potential, not only in developing cost-effective or more important sustainable way of production of these plant ingredients, but also to generate new to nature or way to nature similar of product made by plant, which can have a better efficiency for the health, a better bioavailability. So to expand what is called the chemical space of what is accessible to us for developing ingredients very much.
Yes, this might perhaps already include or address your personal visions for the future, for the next generation, the generation of your children, what will be contributing to our everyday life in the future?
As a father, I wish my kid will live in a future where we have more awareness of the impact our daily life has on the ecosystem. So I think that I'm a scientist by training. I'm obviously in love with science, but I don't think that the answer to today's pressing problem of sustainability is in the technology. I think it's more in the in the education. So as a scientist, I would say that I wish a future where we will be educated to consume less. That's the first thing to do. Then as a scientist, I would like tech to play a huge role. And I envision a future of distributed manufacturing using small and local plants, pilot plants and manufacturing plants, where you can really shorten supply chain and you can start establishing a sort of circular economy. But once again, this is the tech side of the equation, as is hugely important. And I'm super excited about this. But I think that educating people and citizens in consuming less and consuming better, I think will play a much bigger role if we want to achieve a sustainable future.
My vision for in this particular domain is that technology developed will give access to much people to product, to healthy product, and technologies that will be developed by synthetic biology or similar approach will facilitate and will standardize the access to certain molecules while preserving the natural sources of these molecules and expand the potentiality of the exploitation of what has been initiated in nature by plants, and to broaden and to spread the access to this principle.
Okay, so thank you very much for taking part in this podcast episode. And I am very excited to hear about technological developments which are possible to give access to most people in the world to valuable and healthy products. And that education, as David addressed, plays a big role to raise the awareness of how we should behave and where all our products come from and what they imply. And these production techniques can be harmful or beneficial. We all always want the best. Humanity always wanted to get rid of hunger, disease, and try for the best. And it's an evolution, and we are happy to be part of it. And yes, I would like to thank you very much. And I would also like to thank the audience to participate and invite them to listen to our other podcast episodes. I'm Waltraud Hoheneder from Liquify Vienna. Thank you very much.
The podcast miniseries, Made by Microbes, is hosted by SynBio4FLAV, a research consortium that has received funding from the European Union's Horizon 2020 Research and Innovation Programme under Grant Agreement No. 814650. Members of the consortium, SynBio4FLAV, talk about their work in and outside laboratories and about their personal visions.